Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail from north or south, or from the east or west? My heart is filled with love for all of thee. I only know I swell with pride and deep within my breast I thrill to see, O glory faint, the breeze. This is my country, land of my birth. This is my country, grandest on earth. I pledge my allegiance, America, the bold, for this is my country to have and to
first week of August, and there aren't any dog days yet. Unseasonably cool weather. Still got this cold, though. Interesting birthdays today. We have Rupert Brooke, the World War I British soldier and poet, who wrote some very beautiful poetry. We'll have it later on, probably Friday. And he died in the trenches in World War I. We have another great World War II story, actually two of them. Ernie Pyle, probably the best correspondent ever in America, who covered our the common soldier. I shouldn't say common, but the average GI. In fact, he was known as GI. He wrote G.I. Joe, famous movie about Ernie Pyle, who came from Dana, Indiana, a little farming town. And he covered, he worked for Scripps Howard. He was a real journalist, not some like some of these propagandists today. These poseurs. But anyway, he never lied. He showed the G.I. Joe as the grunt in the foxhole, the mud, the coal, the wet uniforms, the K rations, all of that. And he died, I think, in Okinawa, and we'll get into that another day. There is a museum that dedicated to Ernie Pyle in Indiana. They closed because he didn't have the money. He might contact the governor there, Governor Mitch Daniels, who has presidential ambitions, and to be commander-in-chief of our armed services if he ever decides to run. We'll see what happens, or he's drafted. Anyway, Pyle is probably he was one of the best in World War II. In fact, in any of our military history, there's been none like him. A really very fine man, journalist, and human being. Unfortunately, was killed while covering our armed forces and their invasion, I think, of Okinawa. Another controversy today. First of our controversies is John T. Scopes, Scopes Monkey Trial or Evolution. He was born today in 1900. Brought to his Scopes Monkey Trial in Tennessee, where he was he was a teacher of preaching. Evolution, he was accused of preaching. And it brought Williams Jennings Bryan and Charles Darrow to this trial. And they, Jennings Bryan was a Bible thumper, and he was part of the prosecution of Scopes, who was convicted and Clarence Darrow was one of the great attorneys, although he started his career out working for the city of Chicago as I think in the city attorney's office or corporation counsel, as they call it. And of course, he was more famous for the Scopes, not Scopes, but the Leo Frank defense, the murderers who murdered the little Leo Franks, 14-year-old boy in Chicago. It was a thrill crime by two homosexuals, Loeb and Leopold. And everybody involved was Jewish. It's really a shame. He saved them from the electric chair, which is the hot seat of conviction for convicted murderers in Illinois. And Loeb tried to rape somebody in the shower at Stateville, which is Illinois' version of Alcatraz, although it's not in Lake Michigan. And Leopold survived. Later went to work in Puerto Rico, got married, and then died, I think, about 10 years ago. Also today, another interesting great actress from Mexico, Dolores del Rio, born today. John McGregor Burns, great historian, he was born today. And then Governor Richard Lamm, he's former governor. When I covered the Democratic Convention in 1984, I interviewed him among other people, and I'm going to play the interview because Colorado is a great ski country, and we discussed how whites' view of the mountains and the environment compares to that of the Native American Indians. And here's what Governor Lamm had to say. Where is it? Audio interview. Let me get it here. What happened here? We have this problem every time. Where is Richard Lamm? Here we go.
Hello, my friends. This is Peter Paul for Animals and the Idea of the Environment. I'm speaking to a very distinguished guest. I missed him at the Democratic Convention. Governor Richard Lamm of Colorado. Welcome to San Francisco, Governor.
Thank you, Peter.
Governor, what is there unique about Colorado? Environmentally speaking, I'm sorry.
I think that actually Colorado has always been a sort of like it's the mountains, the quality of life in Colorado has always attracted people. And one time a lot of it was a tubercular treatment place. And I think now that starting after the Second World War, when a lot of people saw the skiing, the outdoor life, there's just mountain climbers. I think there's an awful lot of people that find their way to Colorado for the uniqueness of our environment.
Since we're talking about Colorado and mountains, do you think that the people, the electorate, want a man on horseback?
I think that there is something to that. Let me say that I think that that's not the thing that our country ought to look for, but I do think that, you know, people in this day and age are looking for simple solutions to complex problems, and they're looking for politicians that are going to sort of pat them on the head and say, everything's all right, leave it to me, and I'm on horseback.
So the electorate shouldn't act like sheep.
Well, I think that's right. Yes, I think that basically that this country, I think instead of a Ronald Reagan, it needs a Winston Churchill. I mean, it, or by the way, a Walter Mondale or a Ronald Reagan. In other words, I'm saying that neither political party is really coming to grips with our problems, and what we really need is somebody to stop patronizing and condescending us and telling us that everything's okay, we're going to grow our way out of these deficits.
You mean tell us not what we want to hear, but should hear.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that a democracy that doesn't come to grips with its the realities of its time is not going to remain a democracy.
Governor, you have a lot of Native Americans in Colorado. One of them said to me, the Anglo looks at the mountain and he sees a ski lodge. We look at the mountain, we see the symmetry, the color, the majesty, the gods. Can you explain the discrepancy?
Yeah, I think that's a very perceptive question, Peter. I mean, I personally believe that our, you know, our Anglo getting and spending society has got an awful lot to learn from the Indians. And I think that we cannot have this, we can't continue on the way we've going, ripping up the land and not treating the earth, as the Indians say, or the Native Americans say, our mother. And the way where we have been, and I think there is a terrific discrepancy. Whereas there's this ownership domination in the Anglo culture that simply says that we have to possess and dominate and change it. Where I think that's worked okay for the last 100 years, but I think the time is fast approaching when we have to better come to grips, as the Indians did, with the environment that surrounds them.
Governor, you're in California. We have a bad rep in the West. You got any words for Californians?
Oh, I think it's a great state, too. But I think that, you, like your previous question, and California and Colorado's following the same way, is that probably didn't pay enough attention to the quality of their environment. The people out here are trustees of one of the most beautiful states in the union, and I just hope that they're able to preserve the quality of life that's left.
We've been speaking to Governor Richard Lamb of the great state of Colorado. All the best in your political career, Governor, and may you offer your political wisdom, and it's accepted by the electorate, not only in Colorado, but perhaps on a national level someday.
Peter, thank you, and thank you for your good spirit and your good humor. Thanks. Good questions, too.
Thank you, Governor.
That was done at the 1984 convention as part of our extensive collection in our archives, historical archives, audio, visual, print. And we'll have another audio interview, not interview, but clip coming up. It's part of our military education, historical archives, the execution of Private Eddie Slovak. Martin Sheen started a movie on back in the late 60s, early 70s. It's Martin Sheen's birthday today. And, of course, he had some family problems. Interesting background. He is, I think he's from Ohio, and his father is Spanish, or his mother is Spanish, and his father was Irish. He had two sons who were actors. Estevez is the last name of one of the sons, and then you had the other, Sheen, who seems to be in a lot of trouble lately, living in Colorado, incidentally. So, but Sheen's been a very good actor, and this was a very important movie, we think, about the only execution of an American soldier in World War II. He was executed for desertion. We've had, there are movies like The Dirty Dozen, which is actually fictional, although I understand that an American soldier who was stationed in Australia in World War II had raped and killed an Australian woman, and he was hanged. And now, usually, the military, and this is the issue in the Steve Nery case, U.S. Navy sailor, is that even the FBI cannot, and U.S. Department of Justice cannot supersede military authority over validly enlisted military personnel, whether it's Army, Navy, Marines are part of the Navy, Coast Guard, Air Force, and Army, and Universal Code of Military Justice. And so usually rape, in fact, I think in all of the militaries of the world that are civilized nations, rape is a capital crime. It was even in Russia during World War II in the Russian Army. But after the Russians crushed the last of the Nazi army resistance in Berlin, they went on a rape and mutilation rampage I think there were 10,000 German women who were raped, and over 1,000 committed suicide. It was just horrible what the Russians did, but they were getting even for what the SS and the Urgens, the grouper, the special extermination squads that the Nazis had that went in with the Wehrmacht into Russia and inflicted these horrible atrocities on Russian men and women, and there was some cases of horrible mutilation, and of course the Russians got even and did some horrible mutilation on captured German soldiers. So war is a horrible thing. It brings out the worst in people, whether man or woman or child for that matter, as we're seeing these child soldiers in Africa and in Afghanistan. Excuse me. So we'll play that clip now. It's part of our educational file for military education, and this is just a clip from that film.
Too nervous and too scared to serve in a rifle company, sir.
Will his decision not to fight become his worst nightmare?
He might even get a death sentence. Desertion in time of war is a capital offense.
Able-bodied men have been avoiding hazardous duty for years. We haven't shot any of them.
Maybe it's time we started.
You mean I ain't coming back here after my trial?
Depends on the sentence.
Well, it's unanimous, gentlemen. Death.
Are you going to be with me, Father?
I'm going to be right there.
Oh, yeah, I'll be all right.
But I don't have much stomach for shooting one of our own.
He's a deserter.
Tell the fellas in the regiment that Eddie Slovak wasn't a coward.
not today.
Prepare the condemned for execution.
Our Father, who art in heaven,
be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, see who those trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen.
When you get up there, say a little prayer for me.
I will, Father. I'll pray that you don't follow me too soon.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, and the Hail Mary, full of grace, Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, Lord is with thee.
Glory be to the
Father,
and the Son, and the Holy
it is my duty as officer in charge to read you the general court-martial order. General court-martial order number 27. The action of the convening authority is Headquarters 28th Infantry Division. In the foregoing case of Private Eddie D. Slovic, 3689-6415.
Company G, 109th Infantry. I borrow a rifle from a cook.
Hmm? Never cleaned the damn things.
European Theater of Operation, an article of war 50 1/2, having been complied with, will be carried into execution on 31 January 1945 at 109th Infantry Area, France, by command of General Eisenhower.
Private Slovic, do you have a statement to make before the order directing your execution is carried out?
Yes.
Left, six, foot,
ah! Holy Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen.
Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for
us
sinners now at the hour of our death.
Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary,
blessed art thou among women. What? Ready? Aim!
The fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Order! Arms!
Too nervous and too scared to serve in a rifle.
Now, the execution of Eddie Slovac is very controversial. He was, he was a child delinquent during the Depression. He was born in 1920, I think, in Detroit, Polish ethnic family. And he had been in prison. He was on parole, and he was issued a 4F designation, but the Army needed soldiers, so they overlooked that. And he was a misfit who should have never been at least carrying a rifle. At least that's the opinion of a lot of people. Anyway, there's an interesting Canadian connection to this. His story is not well known. That he deserted during the Battle of the Bulge, and we had horrible casualties inflicted upon our men. Eisenhower was worried that the Germans might push us back into Normandy and into the sea. And there had been other desertions, but they were overlooked, and the guys returned to their unit. He consistently refused to return to his unit and wrote a note, and they asked him to tear it up, and he wouldn't. And he took his chances. He figured that he would get a sentence in Leavenworth, and then after the war would be parole. It didn't happen that way. All executions have to be approved in wartime, have to be approved by the commanding general in the field, General Eisenhower, and he had to set an example, and he agreed with the sentence of the court-martial, and Slovak was executed. He was buried in a French cemetery. His widow, a young widow, and Antoinette, also Polish ethnic, petitioned the government for pardon and his pension, but nothing ever happened. They finally raised $8,000 to have his body exhumed and buried next to his wife. I think she died in the 70s. So it's a fascinating story. Now, there's another execution in war, which is documented in the film Paths of Glory. And during in World War One, the trench warfare was just tearing up both armies, the French, the British, all three armies, the French, the British, and the Germans. And at one point, because the French were just being chewed up, the whole generation of Frenchmen, young Frenchmen, one general had his artillery fire on the men in the trenches to get them to go forward. That was one of the scandals. And there were some young Frenchmen who, about 10 of them, who they practiced the old Roman sentencing in military of every 10th man. That's where you get the word decimate. It comes on the Latin. Anyway, there were four guys, I think, who were in this one battalion selected, and they were court-martialed and sentenced to be executed, and the general, of course, approved the execution. Here's the same general that was firing on his own men. And he was later exposed, but Kirk Douglas starred in this film, and this happened. There was a lot of this in World War One, especially among the French Army. So it's an interesting execution scene where one guy was injured or sick, and he was on a stretcher, and they just wound up the stretcher on the execution post and tied him to it and executed him. That's the brutality of war. Among the other things that happened today, I'll bridge through them quickly. We call it Mauling Murdoch. Some of this American media is so hypocritical. There's an old country saying that a fox or a skunk should smell its own hole first before, and this is in relating to hypocrisy, media hypocrisy in this case. Yes, this is serious, all this hacking, whether it's on both sides of the pond here in America and over there in England. And we don't know if some of our own media people have been doing this. We do know that there are the video voyeurs, and it's happened here in San Francisco and in California, Southern California. A lot of these homosexual pornographers have been involved. Also, some of these homosexual lesbian groups, mostly homosexual, have been targeting people, young men, in the gym, washrooms, shower rooms, saunas, toilets, locker rooms, and the stuff's on the web. They can't deny it. There's one of them called, and military personnel are particularly victimized by these video voyeurs. And I reported this in the Steve Neary case to Congress and to the Navy, and we'll put up their written response and denied that they're responsible for this. And we didn't accuse them of that, but we just said we discovered this in this case. Angry Young Man is one of these, and they targeted other military personnel in other nations, Canada, Switzerland. They targeted midshipmen at Annapolis, army bases. It's just outrageous, this video voyeur business. And, of course, the media knows about it. They've covered it up. A couple of their own people are involved in the commercial links to this stuff, the ads that are run in these male prostitution papers that are connected to one, Wayne Friday in particular, who used to work as a so-called investigator in the San Francisco District Attorney's Office. We'll get into him another day. But this is one, you know, Molly Murdoch is one thing, but some of these people who are doing it better look at their own cover-ups of children who have been raped in affordable housing and an attempted assassination. It's all well documented in our hard copies of Veritas USA, and we will be putting them up on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmicusVeritas YouTube. Now, another thing, scam, this is unusual. One of the reasons Murdoch became an American citizen was so he could buy Fox TV and also, I think, one of the New York papers. Now, what we don't understand is Conrad Black, who was born in Canada, supposed to be a Catholic, became an English lord and somehow got control of the Chicago Sun-Times, a major newspaper, and he milked it, and that's the reason he was tried and convicted in federal court. And he was doing all kinds of outrageous things in federal prison, which Patrick Butler, our correspondent in Chicago, who's got 50 years experience in the media, a real journalist, he exposed this. We didn't even know this was going on because it was covered up in the media. So this is one of the major scandals here in America where this guy also is alleged to have or is accused of rigging circulation figures so he could charge high advertising rates. And it goes on with other newspapers as well. So, you know, this hypocrisy has got to be exposed, and we will do our best to continue and expose it. It's not helping anybody to cover this stuff up. Now, the other thing, we'll bring this up again. It was an hour and a half interview I did with a couple of survivors of World War II, British, who served in the special investigation section. I made a mistake. I mentioned special operations executive for Ed Treanor. He was in a special investigation section, although he did fight to keep the communists from taking over Greece. There was an attempted coup after World War II. But he was in the London Metropolitan Police, and they're under fire in the at least their echelon, the top leadership. Two of them, the superintendent of Scotland Yard, I think, resigned, and his deputy, who accused of being involved in the Murdoch News of the World hacking scandal. But it's interesting that Treanor in the interview mentions that he was in the London Metropolitan Police, and he ended up almost being a military policeman, and several of the military police in the British forces in World War II came out of police forces such as the London Metropolitan Police, which is like 25,000 men and women. It's the largest police force in the country. An interesting, they're not policemen per se, but they're prison warders. The movie The Hill with Sean Connery, it's fascinating how military personnel who are accused of violating military regulations, desertion, and absent without leave, AWOL. There's a famous movie, The Hill, done in 1965. We'll run an audio clip on that from the archives. And you get an idea how these warders, as they are called, brutalize these soldiers who were accused and convicted of violation of military regulations. So we'll end with our usual, and we'll be back Friday with the best of the week. Excuse me, I hope I get over my cold by then. And we'll end with our usual. We didn't see any poker this week, but we saw a lot of politics.
Hey, Ben, want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
basement.
We'll be back Friday. This is Peter Paul Mazzola. Good night.